It's in your prayers this morning as we stand before you. I'm going to read a lesson today from the book of 1 Peter. We're going to read from the third chapter beginning at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I do desire an interest in your prayers. This has been a pretty busy week for me this week. Of course, we had Sister Lily's funeral on Friday. I had a memorial service yesterday up at Lucas at Peters Creek Baptist Church. A real good friend of mine. We were buddies from the time I was about 7 years old. Ran around together, dated together, you know, double dated. I didn't date him, he didn't date me. But we did double date, you know. And after I went to Indianapolis, well, later he came, and I had an efficiency apartment, and he roomed with me for a while. And then he fell head over heels in love. And he deserted me, and he took up with her, you know. And he made a career out of the armed services. And he passed away in San Antonio, Texas, at the age of 87. I'm 86. And so we were best friends. And they brought him his remains back here for a memorial. And his wife asked me to do the service. And so it's been a full day. I've had strong emotions, had sadness, but I've had joy too. And he and I both were saved when we were young. And he was active in church. The obituary said he was a Christian and a patriot, and I knew that to be the truth. And I'm looking forward to this service today. I want you to pray for me that God will help me to say what I need to say. I want to take my subject from this 19th verse that I read in your hearing. It has reference to the spirits in prison. And that's my subject for today, spirits in prison. The lesson that I read, of course, excuse me, it has reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to fetch some water here. Excuse me just a moment. All right. It has reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. Christ was the just one, and you and I were the unjust ones. And he did that he might bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit. And it says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, this is having reference to the antediluvian world before the time of the flood. Now, every one of you could tell me the story about the great flood and about Noah and the ark that he built. And so Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher. And preachers are men that God has called and put in the ministry. He called them for the purpose of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says that the Lord Jesus, through the Spirit and by the Spirit, went and preached to those people who lived before the flood. Now, Christ didn't go there and preach to them, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, Noah preached to them. He preached the gospel. And the gospel, as I say often, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that means to all people everywhere, no exceptions. You can't get saved without hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus, because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Jesus is the Savior. And so the gospel was preached unto the antediluvians by Noah. He did it during the time that he was building the ark. I want to tell you about those people for just a few moments of time. The Bible tells us, you know, that Noah was the eighth from Adam. Eight generations, if I could state it like that. This happened perhaps some 1,500 years after God created the heavens and the earth. Those people back in that day, they lived a lot longer than we do. You know, the Bible talks about Adam, who lived, I believe it was 630 years. It talks about Methuselah, who lived, 669 years. They lived much longer than we do. And so Noah was the eighth from Adam. And you add those years up, and it had been some maybe 1,500 years since the world was created and since God made man and placed him on the earth and told him to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so the Bible tells us back here in the book of Genesis, I want to go back to that just for a few moments of time. Not going to take too much time on this, but the Bible tells us in the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, some of those men back in those days had multiple wives. I've never been able to handle more than one at a time. But they did have multiple wives, and they raised dozens of children. When Jacob he went down into Egypt, his family numbered 70. He had 70 descendants that went down into Egypt. Now you take 1,500 years of men that took wives as they chose. Several wives, that's what it means. And they raised children by all of those wives. And so the men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and sons and daughters were born unto them. And so the Lord, He observed all of this. You know, nothing has ever been hid from the eyes of the Lord. He can see in the darkness just as well as He can in the light. That's what the Bible says. And so the Lord said, my spirit is not always going to strive with man. And that teaches us that God had been dealing with them about their lifestyle and about the way that they were living. And He said, I'm not going to put up with this forever. And it goes on and says, down in the 5th verse of this 6th chapter, and God saw the wickedness of man, or saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man. The reason I believe that it repented Him that He made man, because God is a just God, and God is compassionate, and He is loving. He is forgiving. He is not willing that any should perish. But if men refuse the plan of salvation that God has provided, He must be just. And He must punish the sinner who refuses to repent and give up his evil ways and serve the Lord. And so He was sorry that He had made them, because in their unbelief and their rejection, He was going to have to destroy them. And it grieved God at His heart. Grieved Him at His heart. Now I want to go on just a little bit. And it says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad that the grace of God has always been available to His creation. Adam found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Adam sinned against God, disobeyed Him. But God, in His mercy and grace, forgave him. And so it was with Noah, and so it was with me, and so it was with you. God, He provides grace. Now the Bible says that it is by grace that we're saved. And it was through faith. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he preached. He preached to those people about, getting right with God. Now, this lesson that I read in your hearing, let me read this to you. And I'm going to show you that this is true. It says that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and by the mouth of Noah, went and preached unto those spirits that were in prison. Now, these modern people that were in jail, their bodies were not imprisoned. It wasn't the fact that they couldn't go here and go there and do this and do that. They had free will, and they were exercising their free will. And sin, they were practicing sin. The Bible says that God hates sin. And so he sent Noah and he preached while the ark was in preparation. God said, I'm going to destroy man. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So we know that His mercy and His grace was extended to the antediluvian world for 120 years while Noah was building the ark. And it says, wherein eight souls were saved by water. Now they were not saved by water, they were saved from the water. The water was the destruction that God sent on the earth. The Bible says that the heavens opened up and the fountains of the deep were opened. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And when the time came, God said, Noah, bring your family, come into the ark. And when they got in the ark, the Bible said, God shut the door. They were safe from the water. They were inside the ark of safety. And they did not drown. The rest of the world, and I've studied about this and I've thought about it. I wonder what the population was at that time. We may have a tendency to think that it was just a few people. But now you take, if they averaged 15 kids apiece, over a period of 1,500 years, that's a bunch of people. And the world, the people who were living in the world, were every one of them destroyed except those eight people that were inside the ark. So he said, while the ark was preparing, and that was a like figure of baptism, the Bible says. It didn't save their flesh. Their flesh was destroyed, and their souls or their spirits were in prison. We maybe don't think about it like this, but we need to. We should do it. Because listen, the Bible teaches us that their spirits were in prison. Their souls was bound by sin. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. And they were living in sin. They were held captive by the devil. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to turn to that just for a minute. And verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You see, they were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. The devil is the god of this world. And they were in prison. They were in his prison house, so to speak. Their spirits were bound by sin. Their bodies were not bound, but their spirits were bound. And that's why God sent Noah by the power of the Holy Spirit to preach unto them. You know, they needed to be delivered from the power of sin. They needed to be delivered from the power of Satan. They needed deliverance. And I'm telling you today that only God can deliver from sin. There's no one else that can. And people today, they are still, their spirits are in prison. They're in the prison house of Satan. I want to turn over here just for a moment to the book of Timothy. Just give me a minute, and I'll find it. I think it's in 1 Timothy, maybe chapter 2, and it may be in 2 Timothy. I'll have to look and see. 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 26. Listen. He said, "The servant of the Lord," now he's talking about the preachers, "must not strive, but we must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Now we preachers, we have a great responsibility. And, you know, we receive our authority. We have a calling from God. And we get our authority from our church, you know. The authority for the work of the Lord is in the hands of the church. And they ordain us and send us out to preach the gospel. The reason they do that is so that people may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are kept captive by him at his will. You know, Satan, he wants to drag every lost person down to hell. He holds us. We are, our spirits are bound by Satan. We can't get free from Satan by ourselves. There's never been a person that has got away from Satan by himself. It takes the power of God to deliver. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were being held captive. They were being forced to work. They made bricks. And for a while, the Egyptians brought the material to them for them to make the bricks. But After a while, they became, and I don't have time to go into all of this, but you know how they killed the little boy babies? The Israelites were getting strong, and the Pharaohs feared them, lest they should overpower them. So let's kill all the little boy babies. And so they did that. But Moses, when he was born, God, you know, his daddy and mother, they saw he was a proper child, and so they hid him. They didn't fear the wrath of the king. God gave them the insight to know that this child is going to do great things for God and great things for the nation of Israel. And they hid him. And God protected him. And so finally God sent Moses down to Israel to be their deliverer. Well, do you know what? God sent his son into the world to be our deliverer too. To free us from the power of sin. To free us from the power of Satan. To get our spirits out of the prison that the Satan is holding us in. And so, he says, these the preachers from the book of Timothy, you can read it, and I trust you will see the truth of this. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, Satan is stronger than we are. But he's not stronger than God. He's not stronger than the Lord Jesus. So get back to this. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. But this talks about the time in the antediluvian world before the flood when their spirits were held in prison, and Noah was called of God to preach, and he preached to them. And when the ark was completed, well, he entered into the ark, and God shut the door, and it began to rain. Destruction was before them. There, they were wicked sinners. I read that in your hearing. They were wicked. Listen again. And I'll try to get finished before too long. But I want you to notice. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts were evil continually. And the Lord said, I'll destroy them from the earth. And it goes on and tells about the generations of Noah. It says in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted itself upon the earth. You know, God did not make Adam a sinner. Adam made Adam a sinner. And they corrupted themselves. And people today are corrupting themselves. And I'm telling you, this world is getting more wicked every day. More wicked every day. We're getting closer to the end of time. We're getting closer to the coming of the Lord. We're getting closer to the time when fire and brimstone are going to rain down from God out of heaven. And the earth and everything that's in it's going to be burned up. And the only ones that are going to escape are those that are in the ark of safety. And Jesus is the ark. Jesus is the ark. I'd flee to Jesus if I were you. If I wasn't lost, I would flee to Jesus. I'd fall on the mercy of the Lord. I'd ask Him to have mercy on me. Save my soul. Deliver me from the power of sin. Deliver my soul out of the prison house that it's in. Set me free. Jesus can do that. He can set you free. In fact, Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's not just a term. It's not just an expression. Being made free from sin is not just an expression. The Lord Jesus actually forgives our sins, takes them away from us, puts them behind His back, and He never remembers them anymore. He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He clothes us with His righteousness, and He makes us an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We become children of God. You know, we're no longer the children of Satan. We're no longer bound by sin because Jesus sets us free. Free and free indeed. I want to try to close this here just in a minute. In the book of Peter, I want to go back to that just for a minute. In 1 Peter, I can find it without too much trouble. Maybe it's in 2 Peter. Kind of get my scriptures mixed up. Now listen, and I'm going to close. He said, if God spared not the angels that sinned. You know, Satan was an archangel. He was in the presence of God. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. And he just rebelled against God. And he tried to take the throne away from God. And he convinced a third of the angels to assist him in that. And they tried to overthrow God, and he cast them out. And that's what the Bible says. They were cast out. He didn't spare them, the angels that sinned. He cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example also unto those that after should live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot had no business in being in that city to start with. But it was a good place, to raise cattle. And so he pitched his tent. He didn't intend to go to Sodom to start with. But he gradually got closer, and finally moved into town. And he became an official. He sat in the gates of the city. And all of this wickedness vexed him. Do you feel any vexation of all the wickedness that's around us today? I'll tell you, it affects us. And so he said, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I'm glad that God's grace is still available. You know, God is still calling. I think every once in a while, I think of the night that Emma was saved. And I think of Austin sitting beside her with his head down, singing, "Jesus is tenderly calling thee home." That was one of the most memorable things in my memory right now. Her little brother sitting beside of her, singing just in a low, sweet tone, "Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today." And do you know, she answered that call that night, and the Lord saved her. And Jesus is still calling today. He's calling today. And he'll still hear and he'll still answer. I told you, you know, Brother Hogue's great-granddaughter got saved over at Unity, and we're thankful for that. And thankful for the 17 that got saved over at Fairview. And there's been some at other places. But I tell you, this is a soul-saving station too. This church, our altar, is here for the convenience of sinners who feel the need to come to Jesus, who will answer the call. "Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home." I hope and I pray, if you're here today and you're lost, that you'll heed the warning. It's not my warning. It's God's warning. He said God didn't spare the angels that sinned. They received judgment from God. He didn't spare the old antediluvian world that was living in sin. He didn't spare them. They were destroyed. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah with their abominable deeds that they were doing. He destroyed them. And make no mistake, this world's going to be destroyed. Thank God those who are saved are going to be taken out before the destruction comes. We're going home to God and to glory. But those who haven't come to Jesus and haven't been saved, they're going to be destroyed. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. This is what the Bible says. I hope you'll heed the voice of the Lord. You can call me a Noah this morning if you want to. Destruction's coming, and I'm trying to get you to flee from it. I want you to make preparation. I want you to get in the ark. Jesus, he's the ark of safety. You can get in the ark. Let's stand and sing a song. There might be somebody today. God may have spoken to your heart. You know what the Bible says? If you hear his voice, if God speaks to you, you hear his voice. The Bible said, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't say no. Don't say some other time. Say, "Lord, I'm coming home." And come to Jesus. And you will find refuge. And you will find safety. And you will find security. And you will be free from the consequences of sin. And when the world's on fire, you'll be rejoicing with the people of God in the paradise of God. Let's stand while we sing.
186.